SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Sie hören SBS German.
Aktuell begleiten wir den 35. Jahrestag des Falls der Berliner Mauer mit der Podcast-Serie Mauerfall – 35 Jahre Freiheit und Wandel. Folge 2 zur deutschen Wiedervereinigung ist seit letztem Freitag online zu finden, überall dort, wo Sie Podcasts hören. Für die Produktion haben wir etliche Interviews mit Zeitzeuginnen und Expertinnen geführt. Und an dieser Stelle nochmal vielen Dank für Ihre große Unterstützung, liebe Hörerinnen und Hörer. David Kiefel war 10 Jahre alt, als die Mauer fiel und lebte im Bezirk Pankow in Ost-Berlin. Seit 14 Jahren lebt David mit seiner Familie in Brisbane. Die Zeit vor dem Mauerfall hat er trotz des jungen Alters gut in Erinnerung, da seine Eltern die Kinder bestmöglich über die Zustände in der damaligen DDR informierten.
My parents were always kind of helping us to understand what was going on at this time. So I was 10 and my brother was 9 years old. And we happened to have, as many other people happened to have, family members in what we call West Germany. So from both of my parents' side, I had an uncle each side who lived in West Germany. So we knew there was like another country and you know, there's something where we are not really allowed to go to and randomly they would visit us. So we always knew there was something going on. And when it all came along, my parents took us to, just a few weeks before the war came down, took us even to a demonstration, asked permission from the school because it was on a Saturday. And at that time in East Germany, kids would go to school on Saturday. So, you know, we were quite not involved, but yeah, we knew what was going on. And just a few weeks before the war came down, my parents were applying to visit my uncle over in West Germany for his, I believe, 55th birthday. But as quite often at this time, only one parent was granted the permit to leave the country, just to make sure the entire family is not escaping, so to speak. So only my dad would visit my uncle for his birthday. And a few weeks later, when the war came down, and my mom was explaining to me in the morning when we had breakfast what was going on and what happened. And I remember, you know, my parents both were saying, oh, we could have gone all, like the entire family can now go and visit my uncle. And around the same time, we in Berlin, we were able to watch and receive the West German or West Berlin TV signal, which from my memory was illegal to watch, so to speak, or was forbidden, or, you know, people didn't want to see it. But as kids we did, and my parents did as well, as probably many people did. And given our age, I was talking about this at school with other kids at this time, and we had conversations. As far as 10 years old, kids can have conversations, really, about those kind of topics. But we were just basically, I guess, sharing our experiences. And I do remember that I was talking about it to one particular, another student. And she was reminding me that it is basically illegal to watch TV, and my parents can get in trouble for doing so. Yeah, so that was another vivid memory.
Nach dem 9. November 1989 konnten David und seine Mitschüler damals direkt die Folgen für einige Systemtreue miterleben. David erinnert sich gut an die Gerüchte um das plötzliche Verschwinden seines Schulleiters nach dem Mauerfall.
What happened is from, you know, I guess my perspective, how I kind of perceived it, was our school principal was not there anymore, and he was replaced by another teacher who happened to be my teacher as well. So that's how I kind of picked up on it, that it happened. Nothing was really explained, nothing was really explained. But what happened at that time was a lot of, certain people just disappeared, and not disappeared from, you know, from the planet or anything, but weren't at their job anymore. And rumors, went around and people were saying he could have been what we call an official worker for the domestic what we call Stasi. Yep. And people at that time reviewed their position. And he was gone. So yeah, the rumor was that he had to, leave his position.
Davids Eltern durchlebten ebenfalls diese Phase in ihrem Arbeitsumfeld am Theater und wurden auf Verwicklungen mit dem Staatsapparat untersucht.
My parents worked in a theater, which was kind of a, so another private organization. So same approach. Every employer, every worker were kind of reviewed whether they had any relationship to and worked as a Stasi a worker, and they were reviewed. And the interesting thing was people were at least in my environment with my parents and people we knew, people were just talking about it quite openly. As far as I remember, so even at birthday parties, etc. So there was always something, and people were discussing cases. And have you heard about that person? Have you heard that person? Now, I was my brother and I. We went to my parents' workplace quite a lot and spent time there, especially on the weekend when they had their practice sessions. So they were in a choir and in the ballet, so they were dancing. So the colleagues of my parents were discussing, who is next. And then people just didn't show up at work anymore. So people we even as kids knew for a long, long time, they were kind of, kind of uncles and aunties. So everyone kind of took care of each other kids at that time. So they just disappeared from one day to another as well. And my parents kind of explained, that quite likely, they had some relationship and signed a document to be part of the Stasi, basically. Yeah.
Auch heute weckt der Gedanke an die damalige Zeit und Phase der Transformation lebhafte Erinnerungen.
As kids, we had a good time, didn't really feel like the negative parts of East German times as kids at this age. But things were different. So, for example, as many kids, we were part of the youth organization Pioneers. So we had the Young Pioneers and then later the Thielmann Pioneers. I do actually remember half a year after the war came down, we were the last year who just became or graduated, to the Thielmann Pioneers. And then a month later or 2 months later, the reunion actually happened and it all kind of disappeared anyway. Or things like, from 5 years, from 6 days school a week down to 5 days, 5 days school a week, those kind of changes that we then experienced. But I obviously live now in a totally different country on the other side of the planet. I do feel, I grew up in Germany. I personally feel like, being still a citizen of Germany, I don't feel like an East German person as such. So although I did experience 10 years of East Germany, but really when, it was in my teenage years and later that all happened, after the reunion. And I grew up in Berlin as well, you have to say. So that's a city that's quite vibrant, constantly changing anyway.
Auch wenn die Phase der Transformation in Berlin selbst vermeintlich weniger spürbar war als in kleineren Städten, die mit einer großen Welle an Abwanderung zu kämpfen hatten, sagt Davi, dass direkt nach der Wende die Folgen im alltäglichen Leben zu spüren waren, beispielsweise an den höheren Mietpreisen.
I think a year after the war came down, one thing we also noticed, all of us, was, and especially our parents, was the rent of apartments, etc., basically skyrocketed from where they used to be in East German, because it was was all kind of capped and you paid your 90 East German marks for rent and that was it. So that all skyrocketed, and our family actually moved to the north of Berlin in a small city called Bernau. It's about 20 kilometers in the north of Berlin, and that was, smaller city It's a different vibe anyway. But there I did experience people were thinking about differently, even the kids, you know. So they were a little bit more, I guess, a little bit more in their own world. Yeah. Not necessarily in a super bad way, but you could tell the difference between, you know, those kind of smaller cities towards in comparison with Berlin. And that might be still the case even today. Obviously I don't live there anymore.
Auf die Frage, ob heute immer noch die Mauer in den Köpfen vieler Menschen in Deutschland existiere, hat David eine klare Antwort.
I'd say yes, just from where my, and I don't blame those people. You know, they were, people grew up and spent their entire life, when I even think about my parents, under certain, I guess, political system and grew up there. And we know the first 10, 20 years, that's basically setting you up for your life. And that's how you think about it. And I do think it's still there. And I hope personally, you know, as new generations come along, this will hopefully get less and less and less. But right now, I'd say from my, what I see, how I feel about it, yes, there are probably still a lot of people who have the wall in mind, at least the two countries, basically.
Die Podcast-Serie Mauerfall 35 Jahre Freiheit und Wandel finden Sie in der SBS Audio-App und überall dort, wo es Podcasts gibt.
Lust auf weitere Interviews und Geschichten? Uns gibt's auf allen großen Podcast-Plattformen wie Apple, Google und Spotify.